Welcome to 6 o'clock, so 4 o'clock hour of ESPN 600 El Paso. I'm Lane Frank from Scored Sports, along with UTEP quarterback Cam McConnell and Zay Gallindo. We're hosting Sports Talk today while Steve and Adrian are out there at the Super Bowl. Our phone number to call in for today's show and talk sports with us is 915-505-6009. You can also tweet the show at 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter, and we will read your tweets live on air. We got a great two-hour show planned for this week. We got Lou Romano joining us very shortly, then MLB catcher Garrett Stubbs hopping on the 5 o'clock hour, and new UTEP wide receiver Trey Goodman hopping on later in that 5 o'clock hour. Cade, great to be back hosting this show.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good to be back. We're holding down the fort for Steve and Adrian today, which is pretty cool. Yeah, please call us, tweet in, give us a look and hear some stuff.
It's gonna be exciting though. We're holding down the fort for Stevie and Adrian today. We got our bump out of the way there. Mics are all good. It's gonna be exciting. Yeah, please tweet at us, call in. We'd love to hear from you guys. You know, I always love to hear when people call and get some conversation going. But it's gonna be a fun one. Last time we were on, we had a lot of fun, and we're looking to do it again.
Yeah, I was gonna be a little bump in the road right there with the little electronics, but should be good now. Get ready for a great show, everybody. Again, Steve and Adrian, they're out the Super Bowl. They'll be doing the show for the rest of the week out in Las Vegas. I saw they were doing some stuff today. Steve was on the field talking about how, you know, they got the new field there, Allegiant Stadium. They let him on the field.
I know. It's nice to see Steve in front of the camera for a change,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's always sitting back here on his throne in the studio, and now he's out in front of the camera. He's getting some screen time. It's nice to see.
Yeah, for sure. Steve's someone who, you know, I thought he could have been, I mean, he likes TV. He told me he used to do TV. He just didn't get enough time.
That's what he said too. He said he liked his spot right here and talking on the radio a whole lot more than they did in front of the camera.
Yeah, go follow ESPN 600 on Instagram. See the coverage of Adrian and Steve all week over there. Last year, I remember in Radio Row in Phoenix, they got Pat McAfee to come on right there. I think they also might have gotten Drew Brees. I know they got Pat McAfee for sure. A little bit interesting stuff right there. Radio Row, interesting.
I know. I'm excited to see all the people that they have on coming up throughout the week. You know, make sure you guys go in, tune in to them. It's going to be a pretty exciting week on Radio Row for them.
Definitely. We haven't done the show in a little bit. We did it last time in December. I know we were on together last month, but, you know, we had a lot of stuff go on. I finally got my license. You're back with the new coaching staff. A lot of stuff to talk about on today's show.
Yeah, I will point out, Lane, last time we did this, we did picks again, and I am 2-0 against you.
You are 2-0 against me, but when we do our Super Bowl picks later, I know I got that one.
All right, that's fair.
For sure, yeah, definitely a lot of fun stuff. I went to the Duke basketball game this weekend against North Carolina. Hostile environment in the Dean Dome, definitely. Roy Williams Court was bouncing. That whole entire stadium did not feel safe as a Duke fan. But North Carolina, they look for real. Definitely a hostile environment. Is that fun to play in a hostile environment?
Oh, gosh, it's so much fun. I mean, it's fun to be a fan in a hostile environment, too. But, I mean, there's something about going to a stadium and knowing that you're hated and then just having, like, you're living with that in the moment. It's pretty cool. I mean, we're going to have some pretty big road games coming up this year. We actually have 7 road games.
I saw that.
Yeah, we have 7 road games, 5 at home, which, I mean, that's definitely different for me. But I like playing on the road. I like kind of going into that environment. And, like, you know, some of that is, like, the only energy and the only motivation you get is from your sideline and the small fans that maybe travel with you, which is, I don't know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, you guys are playing at Nebraska, which is pretty interesting, and also at Tennessee, both late, or one of them, I think Nebraska's earlier in the season, then Tennessee's like one of the last games of the season. Nebraska, Lincoln Memorial Field, one of the most packed stadiums in college football. That'll be exciting for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to Lincoln Memorial Field opening game, right?
That's something exciting.
No, it's so exciting. And then towards the end of the season, I think it's the second to last game, I think.
Neyland Stadium.
Neyland. I mean,
that's going to be rocking.
Those are two stadiums
right
there.
They could be fighting for a playoff spot.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's what you live for as a Division I college football player. Like, I don't care what level you're at. I don't care what division you're in, Power 5, Group of 5. Like, those are the type of games you live for, to go into those environments and then play the sport you love.
So do you think it's almost fun to go into a game where you don't have as many expectations? It's different than just playing, say, another Conference USA opponent. Because I know for me, in tennis, if I'm playing someone a lot better than me, it's maybe I'll go out there, have fun with it, and maybe I'll end up winning. But then if I go against somebody who's kind of same level as me, maybe I go out and lose that. Is that something fun just to play loose out there?
Yeah, I mean, you try to play loose no matter what. And, like, every game is a little bit different. You know, if you're playing, like, you know, opponent that maybe people, you know, as a player, you're not worried so much about the expectations. You kind of just go out there and play. But I'd be lying if I said, you know, when you play these big Power 5 schools, there's not a lot of, you know, fans or expectations or the sports book or anything else that's expecting you to win. So, you know, you say, you know what, listen, we know the type of team we are. We're going to go out there and lay it on the line, and we know that we have enough talent to beat the people in front of us. we just got to go out, play loose, and play our brand of football. Like, yeah, there's a comfort in that for sure.
Yeah, so I was going to ask this question when you were at Trey, but I'll ask it here with you right now. Say you're going to, or let's just ask this. Would you rather hit a game-winning, have a game-winning play, game-winning shot, whatever it is, maybe game-winning touchdown at home in front of the UTEP crowd at the Sun Bowl Stadium, or maybe on the road?
I definitely at home. 100. Okay. It's at home.
You don't
for
want
me.
To be the killer.
I do want to be the
I
killer.
I think being the killer's fun.
I do want to be the killer, and I think that's really cool. Like I enjoy going on the road and playing in that type of environment. I like going different places and kind of seeing new parts of the country that I've probably never seen before. I think all that type of stuff is really cool. But I mean, there is nothing more exciting to me than throwing a touchdown pass or winning a game at home in front of all the fans, and you can hear that crowd erupt. I will never forget in high school, we would pack out our stadium, and it was a huge game in playoffs, and I threw a ball, and I got hit right after the play. I never saw where the ball went, but I heard the crowd scream, and then I heard another scream after that, and I knew that meant catch and then run for a touchdown afterward, and it's still one of the best sounds I've ever heard in my life.
I think maybe neutral site might be the best, because you know you get the best of both worlds. You get to be the hometown hero, and then you also gotta get to be the killer for the other crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Neutral site means bowl game, so if we're playing in a neutral site, then we're doing something right.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe even a conference championship game, or is that at home site?
That's the goal. No, I mean you can. No, I think conference championships are still home and away site. Yeah. But I mean, I want to do that too. Trust me.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of things to look up for this UTEP program coming up this year. I was thinking about it for the Duke game in North Carolina that I went to this weekend. It'd be pretty cool if Duke just maybe got a buzzer-beating game winner right there, because the amount of people in that stadium, full-out Carolina blue. Now, they're both blue, Duke and North Carolina, but Carolina, different shade. You can tell it is fully North Carolina fans. Every time it happens, North Carolina fans, it's one of the biggest arenas in the world, bigger than Madison Square Garden. They pack that thing. North Carolina, packed stadium. That was exciting right there, but North Carolina looking like one of the best teams in college basketball. Zay, I want to get your thoughts right here. I know you watch some college basketball. Who do you see as the top contender?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the defending champs. It's definitely UConn. Okay. Burgess alum, Tristan Newton, leading that squad. And they're just a fun team to watch. And this is probably, you know, a boring answer. Obviously, UConn, number one team in the nation, blah, blah, blah. But they're on fire. And, you know, I think I wouldn't feel comfortable with myself going with anybody other than them.
I think for UConn right now, they're number one in the country, but I don't see them as the number one team. I look at the game against Kansas. They didn't play very well against Kansas, and I don't even think that's a game Kansas played very well. I see Marquette as actually the best team in the Big East, not UConn. I put that on the Squared Sports Instagram. A lot of people came at me for it. I wouldn't put UConn number one. I'd put Purdue number one, North Carolina number two, two best teams in college basketball. Armando Bacot is a force. Zach Edey for Purdue is also a force. So, two of the best teams in college basketball. Exciting stuff right there. We got a great game tonight in college basketball. Kansas versus Kansas State. That's a rivalry, some people like to say, is better than Duke North Carolina. I care to disagree, but I'll go with Kansas in that one. We'll switch off college basketball right here. Let's go a little NFL. Head coaching cycle over with. Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel, don't get jobs. Dan Quinn, Mike McDonald, they get the last two. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that just really surprising? I mean, let me just ask you that, Lane. Like, is that not surprising to you off the bat that those two guys don't have jobs?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you think about all the success that they've had, and then you think about when we talk about the Titans over the past couple of years, like, you think of well-run organization. Like, that's the number one thing you think of. And well coached for the most part. I mean, yeah, they've had their stumbles and maybe haven't gone as far in the playoffs as they wanted to, or fell short in other seasons. But like, I felt like Mike Vrabel's handled that team very well. And then you have, you know, a great in Bill Belichick who could be considered one of the best NFL coaches of all time. And the fact that they don't land anywhere is really surprising. What we were talking about on the show when I was on a couple of days ago was, I don't think Bill Belichick wants to come in and take a backseat to anybody. He wanted to come in and be a head coach, and I don't think there was an organization right now that was willing to let that happen. And so that's why I kind of think that he's not landed anywhere right now. But the Mike Vrabel thing does surprise me a lot.
I think he definitely wanted maybe full control over that Falcons team, and the Falcons were not willing to give that up to him. You know, they have new GM, all that. I'm reading something right now on Instagram. It's from Diana Rossini, great reporter. It says, a GM suggested at the Senior Bowl that Mike Vrabel's physical build and size may have intimidated people from other organizations. It could have played a part in him not getting a head coaching job. The quote is, I had a GM at the Senior Bowl who mentioned to me Vrabel's physical build, that he's a very large human being, and that can be very intimidating to people in organization. He's just a football guy.
What is that?
What's intimidating about that?
I don't even know what that means. You're telling me
he's a football guy.
Are you telling me Dan Campbell's not intimidating? I mean, that guy's jacked.
And they're a great team.
Exactly. I don't
get that. You'd rather Brand Staley, someone who can't even...
I want to know who in the front office said that to foster that tweet. I have no idea how that happened.
We have Lou Romano right here. He's going to be joining us in about 5 minutes. It'll be exciting right there. Kid, I know you're meeting him for the first time right now. Lou, we haven't had you on in a while. We'll have you on 4 minutes, but it'll be an exciting show with you. Got a lot of stuff to go over.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a good one. We're going to hit a bunch of topics. Please tweet in, call in. Lane's going to give you guys the number. We want to hear from you guys. Appreciate that.
Yes, please call in, 915-505-6009. Join in on the action with us. Let's close out this first segment right here. Let's talk a little bit more about Utah basketball. I know you went to the game the other night. It's a program where you look at New Mexico State. They get packed out crowds. New Mexico, they're in the top 25 now. They get packed out crowds. Why can't someone like Utah basketball, the way they are right now, get that? What do you think as a UTEP athlete?
Here's a couple of things. I think that we were talking about it earlier, and I'm not agreeing with this, but I have heard it from multiple sources, and it's that the UTEP fan base holds basketball to a little bit higher standard than other sports around here. And I don't think that they're meeting that standard in, as far as the wins and losses column. But I also think that people want to see maybe some more exciting style of play. You know, I just know when I was at the Liberty game, you know, there was a lot of shots being taken from beyond the arc by them, and it was exciting to watch. You know what I mean? It was a little bit more dynamic, whereas sometimes I don't think UTEP's offense has that. But, you know, I mean, they can manufacture points in other ways. But when you really look back at the games and you look back at the box scores, right, I mean, they're in a lot of these games. It is close. And then they end up coming, you know, falling short. And I think UTEP fans just want to see them overcome that and start putting up some more wins in the win column. And then they're going to have more of an attendance, you know. And I think that goes the same with football too, right? I mean, we had somebody say when they called in on the show last week when I was on, and they said, you know, a first home game for UTEP football is an audition, and if they don't win that one, then everyone's out for the year. And I don't think that's fair at all, but it is the reality of things.
I think UTEP basketball has been dead since that 2019-2020 season, the hype that team had. Right now you have current Texas head coach Rodney Terry was the head coach of that UTEP team. Bryson Williams, who averaged 20 points a game in big-time college basketball at Texas Tech, was on that UTEP team. Jordan Lathan, averaging 20 points right now in college basketball on that UTEP team. Bunch of guys on that team, bunch of expectations. I had Jordan Lathan and Bryson Williams both tell me before that season, he didn't see them losing a game. They didn't see them losing a single game on that schedule. They started out great, 6-0, and then the wheels fell off. So UTEP basketball, tough town right here for some people. Tim Floyd had some great days there. I know Steve Kaplowitz has his thing or two to say about Tim Floyd. They had some big fights back in the day. But Zay, to close out this thing right here, one more thing on UTEP basketball, give me.
Yeah, you know, it was a fun game against Liberty, and you know, they had their opportunities. You can't get mad at that. They had their opportunities, and they just weren't hitting the shots they needed to hit, you know. And it's a tough loss. It's I'm not gonna say, you know, it's a horrible loss, but I mean, they should have beaten a Liberty team that, you know, they outclassed athletically. You could tell on the court who was the bigger, faster, stronger team, but you know, they couldn't come out on top.
We got Lou Romano coming up next. Stay tuned.
What up, dudes?
I want to get to some rough spots that we have right now. First of all, on the east side, we have Edgemere and Tierra Zafiro. We have a crash there. PD on it. Again, that's Edgemere and Tierra Zafiro on a crash, so give them plenty of room there. Also, where are we stacked up in traffic right now? First of all, I-10 at red. And Trans Mountain, I-10 westbound lanes, red to Trans Mountain. You're going to be in that very stop-and-go traffic because I-10 west to Trans Mountain, that's completely closed. So it starts backing up the traffic to red on those westbound lanes. Also, stacked up traffic, I-10 east, Spaghetti Bowl to the Reynolds area. Caution in that area. And also, we have some heavy traffic right now. Loop 375 south at Iron Medics. There's some lane closures that go on there, so extra caution there. This update brought to you by Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon. We know that Leo's has a full-service bar celebrating 77 years serving El Paso, Tuesday through Sunday, not tonight, but tomorrow, 11 to 8. And Go Miners, Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon. Charlie Wynn, 600.
The Battle of I-10 comes to El Paso Saturday, February 10th. Don't miss UTEP versus New Mexico State in the Haskin Center. The game is sponsored by GECU. It's a whiteout. The first 4,000 fans receive a free Texas Western t-shirt, compliments of GECU. Or get your Texas Western tee at the UTEP bookstore. Plus a very special halftime presentation as all-time leading scorer Stephon Jackson is honored. Tip-off is at 7. Tickets start at just $9.15. Call 747-UTEP or visit UTEPMiners.com for tickets. And don't forget to wear white.
El Paso has spoken. Mendez Isaac Jody Law Firm has been voted by this community as the City Magazine's best law firm. Thank you, El Paso, for trusting us to give you the best representation. Let Mendez Isaac Jody help you in cases involving serious injuries, wrongful death, work injuries, drunk driving cases, and 18-wheeler accidents. Don't settle for less. Call the best. Mendez Isaac Jody Law Firm. We fight for the community of El Paso every day. Visit us at mijlawfirm.com.
This is Steve Kaplowitz, and 600 ESPN El Paso has a great way for you to enjoy sports talk on demand. Download our show by subscribing to the free 600 ESPN El Paso podcasts on your Apple or Google Play device. After that, you can enjoy the best of sports talk each day delivered commercial-free to your phone or tablet. That's right, all the best calls, interviews, and insight with the touch of a button, so you never miss a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso podcasts. Palo Verde Homes is El Paso's award-winning home builder, and year after year, voters have named them among El Paso's top builders in City Magazine. 100% of the homes they build are Energy Star certified, and they are ranked as one of America's top 200 builders. Palo Verde Homes offers 3, 4, and 5 bedroom floor plans in East, West, and Northeast El Paso, in addition to Socorro, Horizon City, and New Mexico. Call Clearview Realty today at 996-5972 or visit paloverdehome.com. What coming home should feel like.
COVID-19? I don't want to risk missing work. I booked an appointment for this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. Learn about a vaccine option and book your COVID-19 shot on ScheduleCOVIDVax.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Total by Verizon is wireless that goes all in for you. That means unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, priced by us at $25 a line for 4 lines on the unlimited plan. And as always, no contracts. Sounds pretty hard to beat, but all in is all in. So we added international calling to fill the year with more, hey girl, because it can't be total unless it's all in. Find a store and exclusive deals at TotalByVerizon.com. Monthly rate when you activate with auto pay discount beginning the month after you enroll, plus taxes and fees. Additional restrictions apply. See website for data management practices and full terms.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
600 ESPN El Paso.
Hey, yo, y'all can't stand right here. In his right hand was your man's worst nightmare. Loud enough to burst his right eardrum close range. The game is not only dangerous, but it's most strange. I sell rhymes like dimes. The one who mostly keep cash, but brag
We're
about
back here in the 4 o'clock hour. I'm your host today, Lane Frank from Squared Sports, co-hosting with Kate McConnell. We're guest hosting for Steve Kaplowitz, Adrian Bross out here at the Super Bowl right now. I'll get your headphones fixed in a second. Also co-hosting UTEP Zay. But yeah, great show coming up. We have Garrett Stubbs joining us next hour. We have Lou Romano with us right now. Lou, great to have you here. Should be good.
Yeah, we got you.
We got you.
You guys
got you.
Can hear me, but
yeah,
I can't hear me.
Okay, let me try to fix that for you.
No,
right,
that's
here.
All right. As long as you guys can hear me. And you guys brought me in on the perfect day, too, because I am so angry.
That's
I am
exciting.
Mad at every... Oh, there we go. I can hear me. Perfect,
okay, perfect, perfect. I got you.
As I was saying, I am so angry. Where's Zay?
Zay's back there. Last time you came in, you were really angry.
No, this is... I hate every single sport.
No, you hate every sport last time.
I hate it. It's even worse now.
You were ready to tear up the studio last time.
Dude, it's worse today. So you picked the right day, so you guys better...
We need a little background there, Lou. We need some background.
Every single sport is being run like garbage. Every single one. From the NFL, where they can't catch. These coaches can't freaking coach. It all started with that ridiculous Des Bryant didn't make a football move.
Okay,
you're wearing a helmet. You're on the field. Anything you do is a football move. That's when it all really started in the NFL. Next, you guys are blinded by the fantasy leagues and the rotisserie, whatever it might be.
Fantasy,
you're blinded
football,
by that.
Gambling, whatever it might be.
Right. Then you got the average guy. Oh, it's football season. Yeah, football. What do you like about it? Nothing. There's nothing to like in the NFL, from the stupid messages on the back of the helmets that they're doing, to the guys who can't catch, the coaches who can't coach, they can't manage the last couple of minutes of a game, all of it stinks. And they're cheating with those stupid gloves that they're wearing. That's why they can't catch the ball. Take off the gloves. Okay, so the NFL, here, has the NFL been able to figure out pass interference yet?
No.
okay, I'm not watching. I've had it. I've had it. It's actually very simple, and they find a way to make it difficult. The quarterback is carrying the football, and he's running around, and he's about to get sacked, and he throws it away. Oh, wait a minute. He was outside of the – what do you mean he's outside of the pocket? What does that mean? So they run the replay. Oh, his toe was on that little white piece of chalk, so he's in. Listen, it's very simple. If you are trying to avoid getting tackled and you threw the ball away, I don't care where you're doing it, it's intentional grounding. Will you stop? And these officials, for some reason, won't make a call on a safety. Man, you have to like walk into the end zone and hold a sign up saying, I'd like to have a safety called against me here for them to call it. So the NFL is just – and remember, what you guys don't know because you guys are younger, I watched the NFL when it was actually – here. Let me give you an example. Let's pretend you went to YouTube and you type in 1960s, best hits of 1960s. You're going to get a five-minute video of the best hits from the 1960s.
It might be longer.
Okay, it might be longer. Type in 1970s, the best hits in the NFL, great 1970s. Hits. Great hits. 80s. Great and then hits. All of a sudden that disappeared. If you ran one of those over the last 5 years, there are none. Nobody hits anymore.
Then they start
realizing, won't let him hit it.
But then they start realizing these guys from the 60s and 70s, they weren't living much longer.
Well, then you know what? Then don't play. Then you can't play football. That's part of the game is you're wearing a helmet and you get tackled.
So from somebody who steps on the field, right, every single year and plays 12 games, right, at Division I level, right, you know, I'm actually with you. I think they protect the quarterback too much, and I am a quarterback. So I think that I really am. And I agree with the stuff that Brady said, where Brady has said quarterback's got to put the ball in safe spots so the receivers don't get killed. That's
exactly.
I agree with
that. Okay, that's not football. We're not playing football then.
I didn't give the
flags
pass.
On these guys.
But no, right. I'm saying I agree with that. Like I am in agreement that the rules need to be, you know, not so far, you know, ticky-tacky where it's like every single time there's a hard hit, you see yellow laundry out on the field. I agree with you on that. But like you also have to have some type of advocacy for the fact that like guys spearing people with their heads and getting
that's
hit in
totally
the head.
Different. That's totally different.
Well, I mean that's what we're talking about, though. Yeah. Like, I mean, you look up 1960s hits, and like half of those hits are like spearing straight to the head with.
We're
like
playing
that.
Football. So, but we're playing football, McConnell. We're
yeah,
playing
I know.
Football.
But that's both sides. You know, what I mean, there's both sides of it.
It's not for me anymore. I can't take it. And don't even get me started on the. I hear your point. Don't get me started on the NBA.
Okay, I got something for you right here in the NBA.
I try to force myself to watch an NBA game. And I'll watch a guy pull a rebound, run through 50 guys, and launch a three-pointer with nobody on his team under the basket, and he misses it. Guy who pulls the rebound goes down and does the exact same thing. I'm like, seriously? Are we at the rec center? What is this? I can't watch it.
I made a point to ask you something in the NBA. So last week in the NBA, we had Joel Embiid drop 70. We had Devin Booker drop 65. Karl Anthony Towns drop 65. And Luka Doncic drop 73. When you see that, do you think it's soft? All these guys drop 70 points? Because we used to not see that maybe in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah, I don't know because I don't watch.
There's
it
no
anymore,
defense. Is that your point?
There's no defense, and they don't play defense when they do try to play defense. I grew up watching the NBA where guys like Curry, if you drive the lane and you're getting 12, 13 in the first quarter, guess what the Knicks are going to do to you or the Pistons? The next time you come in here, you're going to know you're not supposed to come in here. They just won't do that anymore. So I can't watch the NBA. Plus, there's no fundamentals anymore. I've had it. I've just had it. From the moment the Bucks walked off the floor when the opponent was there, this was right at the COVID time.
Okay.
Okay, the Bucks showed up, and I forgot who they were playing.
Heat?
I don't know. I forgot who they were playing.
In the bubble, they played
the other team was there, and the Bucks walked off the court in protest. So you made us show up here for nothing? You couldn't call us like
that was during the bubble
and say we're not going to be there? And the commissioner allowed that with no penalty. I've had it. So I grew up watching the Birds and Jordan and that group. What they're playing today is not basketball. The women play more basketball than the men do.
I do have a question, though, because this is the first time we're meeting, right? So I haven't gotten to hear you speak before or anything else. But we don't watch football anymore, right? And we don't watch basketball anymore. Mm-hmm. Are we watching any sports at this point?
Well, I was watching college football up until this ridiculousness now with the NIL and the...
College football is amazing now.
What's 15 guys from Washington just quit?
If you watch the actual games, though, it is so much better than watching an NFL game.
But
avoid
that's the
everything
reason,
going off the field.
That's the only reason I'm watching.
Okay,
that's the only reason I'm watching because the games are pretty good for the most part.
Exactly.
But the leagues stink. The NFL as a league stinks. Okay, here next year, how many teams have a shot at the Super Bowl?
32.
What?
I love it, Lane.
What?
In college football, how many teams have shot a championship?
You lost your mind? We're not talking about college. We're talking about the NFL. How many teams, coming into this year, how many teams had a shot at the Super Bowl in the NFL? Three?
In a pro sports league,
you got 30
especially
teams
NFL, anything can happen. How many teams do we see?
And when does anything happen?
In the NBA.
That one year when something out of the ordinary happened.
In the NBA every year, there's not really that big surprise team.
I'm talking
team.
About the
in
NBA,
NFL,
Lane. We're talking about
team.
The NFL.
I know.
So stop going saying, to college and stop going to basketball.
I'm saying,
in the NFL,
there's
going
to be a surprise team in the playoffs every year that you expected to probably get a top five pick.
Who is a surprise team that's in the Super Bowl this year?
Not in the Super Bowl this year, but Detroit Lions?
I'm saying the Super Bowl. Let's start again.
If you get
let's
into the
again.
Playoffs, you have a chance to make the Super Bowl. It's not
no,
like
you
college
don't.
Football.
No, you don't.
It's not like college football.
No, you
football.
Do not. The Cowboys never had a chance.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. No, they did games. Not.
Yes, they did.
How did they have a chance? They got destroyed by the,
it's
the
one
lowest
game.
Speed.
Anything can happen in one game. It's the playoffs.
Dude, am I hallucinating? All right, let's get the callers to call in. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, we need someone to
these
call
these guys
in.
Are saying the Cowboys and Green Bay had a chance at the Super Bowl. No, they did not. They never had a shot.
Green Bay is one missed kick away from being in the conference championship game, playing a team
you
that
can,
they beat earlier
in the season.
You
can sit there and
go
back and look at the videos all you want to, but the fact is the two best teams are in the Super Bowl.
Very true, which I'm happy about.
Okay,
we don't
so
get
it's
going to
be
year.
The same thing next year.
Cincinnati Bengals made
the
Super Bowl in 2022.
Last year.
Did you expect – nobody expected them to even make the playoffs.
The point I'm making is the NFL goes around saying they're brainwashing people like you. Everyone's got a chance. They don't. Jacksonville has no shot.
With Trevor Lawrence?
Okay, they have no shot.
If you make the playoffs in the NFL, I believe you have a shot at the championship.
You don't. It's the same teams every single year. It'll be the same two. It'll be Kansas City and San Francisco have a shot at the Super Bowl next year. Right or wrong?
Wrong. The Lions had a shot this year, and they've never had a shot.
The Lions had a shot, all right? That's one team. Give me another one.
Well, that
they had a shot. We're talking about a shot. I'm talking about getting there. You want to say a shot? That's fine. I'll give you the Lions. Who else? Why didn't they get there? Did the coach mess up?
Yeah, so, I want to talk to you about
okay,
that.
Okay, another point, what I was just telling you, all right? And I like Dan Campbell.
I do, too.
He screwed that up.
He definitely did.
Okay, all right.
We got the mayor on line one.
Who else? All right, bring in the mayor.
Bring it on.
Eddie Morello here.
I thought you said the mayor.
Calls himself the mayor.
Exactly.
Oh, hello. Hi, Eddie.
Look at
is
my
it
Twitter.
Eddie? Okay.
Look at my Twitter handle. You guys are learning about
that.
Twitter handles a couple weeks back. Check out my Twitter handle. Anyways, I'm with Lou. I am 100% with Lou.
Okay.
I rarely watch NFL because it's very different. And I NBA, I have to force myself, even as a Lakers fan, I have to force myself to watch it. And nowadays, I'm all about baseball and soccer because I'm so turned off by the NFL and the NBA.
Right. And, Eddie, what's turning you off?
NFL, all the rule changes. You already named a few things. The pass interferences are ridiculous. The hitting, who knows what's legal and illegal these days. You know, right. I'm like you, man. In the mid-90s, Ronnie Lott. You remember Ronnie Lott?
Yeah, I remember Ronnie Lott. That was a football player. Not that ridiculousness you got out
you
there.
You can't
today.
Be a Ronnie Lott anymore. You know?
I know.
In the NBA, anybody touches LeBron? Okay, that's it.
Eddie, you know? I'm curious. How old are you?
I will be turning 45 in exactly a week.
Right.
So 45,
yeah, right.
I'll be 45.
Happy early birthday.
Yeah, the guys that I'm with are much younger. They don't know,
I know
what they're missing.
I know how young they are. And, you know, but that goes again. Now I'm a big, avid fan of soccer and baseball because of my not liking NBA and NFL nowadays.
I'm going to go off on baseball in a little bit. I just want to try and straighten these guys
out. I'll be listening, man. I'll
okay.
be listening. Hey, this is great stuff, by the way. I'm loving this.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thanks, guys.
We got Pinky on line two right
qualifies.
Now. Let's bring in another caller, Pinky, on line two. Pinky, you're live on Sports Talk.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, Lou Romano, you want to sound like Stephen A. Smith or want to be like him or what?
I don't watch the
everybody
guy.
Down
I know
and
who
nobody's
he is.
Good enough.
I know who he
you don't
is,
know
but
who he
I don't watch the guy.
Well, neither do I, but I've ever seen him. You're making it sound the same way where you're always negative and everybody's wrong and you're the only one that's right.
I'm not negative. So, I'm flat out telling you the Miami Dolphins are not winning the Super Bowl next year. Neither is Chicago. Who else do you want to name? Neither is Washington.
Okay.
Neither are the Giants. There are 30 teams in that league.
Okay,
and the league.
Okay,
wait a minute. Let me finish.
Okay.
The league tells you that, oh, everyone's got a chance. They don't. I just named you five teams that have no shot. Want me to keep going?
That's not the league's fault. That's not the league's fault. That's the team's fault.
Then stop. Then stop saying it. Then stop saying it. Stop telling everybody.
No, the league.
Okay. Listen to me, Pinky.
Nobody.
That's right. And I'm right.
That's why you play the game. That's why.
It's not why you play. Ask Florida State. Ask Florida State. That's why you play the game.
We'll bring it back.
Let's bring it back, Pinky. Thank you for your call.
Why they play the game. Well, Florida State didn't get a chance.
We'll bring it.
They didn't deserve a chance.
They didn't deserve it. That's a whole nother thing. Yes, they did. They won a Power Five and went undefeated. They belong in the playoffs.
Are they the best four teams in college football?
You're crippling sport. You know what?
You're telling me you'd rather have a bad
team. San Lazario isn't going to win any football games this year, but the top four teams in that district go to the playoffs every year.
Wait, you call them
and you tell them that doesn't matter.
So you're telling me that maybe a team in the best division in Austin high school football, they're fifth. They would whoop any San Lazario team.
They would. You said they would. We're not going to find out.
They don't deserve to go in the playoffs over that team? They do.
You're saying they would. You're basing
your
opinion.
They play an easier division. That's why divisions shouldn't be in sports.
You're crippling sport. That's not how it works.
So
you've told every other you've told every other Power Five, you win your conference, you're in.
Yeah.
Okay, why weren't they in?
Because
somebody thought
because when
they
you lose your quarterback,
no,
you're
that's
not a
ridiculous.
Good team.
That's ridiculous. You know what? Tell the Dodgers let's use the Cowboys and the Lions. Cowboys won the division, right?
Yeah.
They look bad against Detroit, right? You know what, Dallas? You didn't look very good last week, so I know you won the division. You're not going to the playoffs. Washington looked great last week. We're going to send them instead.
We're on a roll.
That's
we
what I thought. Silence. That's what I thought.
We're on a
You're
roll.
Crippling sport. Not the league, not the division, sport. Because somebody thinks that team's not going to win. What? Send them out. They might lose by 100 points. The point is they deserve to get in there. You can't sit there and have guys in a room say, you know what, let's take a look at, you know what, they didn't play very well. I know they won the division, but they didn't play very well. So don't send them out there. What do you care?
We got John on line one. Let's see what he has to say.
I told you I was angry today, right?
We got a lot of callers. This is 3 in 3 minutes. Let's give it a yell.
Hey, Lou, I just want to agree with you on the NFL and the officiating thing. It's gotten out of hand. I mean, we have teams that are now – teaching players how to get other teams' players in trouble. For example, these targeting rules. I mean, you're talking about professional athletes. These guys are big and they're fast, and now they're supposed to stop at a dime
right, and
not hit a quarterback? Or if they get blocked into a quarterback, it's still a penalty. Now we have guys who deliberately lower their head on offense, take a shot to the head, and the defender gets the penalty for it. That's totally messed up. And the officiating is out of control, and the rules are out of control.
You're 100% right. I agree with you 100%. Again, these guys are younger. They don't see it the way we see it, but you're 100% right. That's ridiculous. You're asking a guy who runs a 4.3 40, who's been on the run from the other side of the field, and right as he gets to the tackle, wait a second, let me figure out where my head needs to be. Are you serious? That you're 100% right.
Yeah. All right. Let him have it, Lou.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you for your call.
Okay.
All right. I have a question for you. And you were talking about with the 32 teams in the NFL not having a shot, right? You're saying, you know, the NFL says that everyone has a chance and they really don't have a chance.
Right.
Right. The caller said it earlier. I mean, that's on the organization. Like, teams have to rebuild and then restructure, get their team built back up, and then come back.
How much longer are we waiting on Chicago?
But wait, here's my point. Like, some franchises are ran better than others, right? I mean,
yeah, that's up to the league to say, what the hell are you guys doing here?
But what is the league?
You got rid of your three first-round draft picks?
Right, but I mean, it's the same thing if you were to run a league of your own in any other sport. Like, the mm-hmm. league can't determine how teams run their team.
Oh, yes, it can.
But I'm saying that's
yes, it can. You can have the commissioner walk over there and say, what the heck are you guys doing?
Right,
here?
But you don't have the commissioner come over and play God to the league and say, well, you can do this and you can't do this, because sometimes all the stuff that seems blasphemous may not be. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have the commissioner of the league in the NFL office act like a GM for the entire league. That doesn't make any sense either.
Okay, you're a boss at a company. Okay,
right.
Isn't the NFL a business?
Absolutely.
Okay, you're a boss at a company. You got 5 units underneath you. This unit stinks every single year and is bringing you guys down.
You can't go over there and say, you guys got to fix this or get rid of some play. Here's what you need to do to fix this.
Yeah, but here's the difference is that company isn't a sport. That company is not a sport. I mean,
What's the difference? It's a business. You just said it was a business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so run it like one.
Yeah, but in light of having true competition and having actual competitiveness where teams vouch for themselves, make themselves better, and go win, right? The Chiefs shouldn't be why would the Chiefs have to be sold short? I'm a Charger fan. The Chargers should.
Oh, okay, Chargers. That's
right,
good.
Right.
Good
no, it's miserable. It's terrible. Right. Right?
And it shouldn't be. Right. Right?
No, it shouldn't be.
Okay,
but
why?
But here's my point.
Okay, go ahead.
Now they're great.
But here's my point. Right?
What do you mean now they're great?
Now they got
how are they great?
Because
no, all of a sudden the Chargers
okay.
are great.
I just started a war here. Now they just
Stop.
Got a great
you
head coach.
Are so fast to say teams
Wait,
are
hold
great.
On. Hold all right, on. Come back to this later. Kate
no, McConnell's got a good
But here's my point. I don't need Roger Goodell to come into the Chargers and say, hey, Chargers, you can't do this or you should do this or this is a good decision or a bad decision.
I'm not saying that.
And now, but that's exactly what you're talking about.
No, I'm saying, why did you do this, here's where you're messing up.
Right, but then
why not? If he's the commissioner.
But who's to say the league is right in the first place? Because everybody has to make the
decision. Well, what you're
anyway.
Doing isn't working. Here, let me give you a different example.
What's
to
make Roger
saying?
Goodell I'm any more right than the owner of the Chargers?
I'm not, because your owner doesn't know what he's doing.
Right, but
right?
just because they've been bad in the past
okay.
doesn't mean they're going to be bad forever.
Okay, here.
What if Roger Goodell would have come
baseball,
in and said.
The Oakland A's. When was the commissioner going to go,
bad.
What the heck are you doing here?
Historically bad. Historically not doesn't
okay.
have enough money to do anything
You don't think if you
right.
were an A's fan, it would have been cool for the commish to go to the Oakland A's and say, what the heck are you guys doing here?
Yes, it would have been cool, but that's
okay.
part of sports is to
it's
have
a- not exactly part of sports.
Right.
Exactly, which is why FSU needed to be on that field.
We're going from
No, you guys are creating different ways,
the NCAA,
and you're overthinking it.
I know, but the NCAA is a completely different, corrupt organization.
It is. We agree it's corrupt?
100%.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, of course, in terms of, like, trying to decide whether or not teams get to go to a playoff or not, like, there's never going to be a right answer with that. Like, there's always going to be something that's wrong. But my point is like,
right.
who's to say the NFL league office has sovereignty over what the Chargers do? Because who's to say they're right and the Chargers aren't, even if historically they've been wrong?
Okay, so you want the Chargers to continue to be bad. That's okay without somebody stepping in and saying, hey, listen, here's where you guys are messing up.
You're right. You're right into a degree, and we'll continue this, but we're going to head to a break here shortly.
Yep.
A break? We don't need a break.
We do.
We're on a roll, but we need to go a little break. So we'll come back. We'll finish out some more thoughts with you, Lou Romano. Still going to come in the 4 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. I'm Lane Frank, Kate McConnell, UTEP Zay, and Lou Romano with us.
I'm ABC7's Paul Sicala. Happy Monday evening, El Paso, Las Cruces, and Ciudad Juarez. Here's your top stories on ESPN El Paso for February 5th. A large fire in Tornillo spread from a couple cars to an RV and then a building. It happened at the 300 block of Oil Mill Drive in Tornillo. Dispatchers received the initial call at around 12:30 this afternoon. There have been no reports of any injuries. This is a developing story in Tornillo, and once we learn more about the fire, we will update you on air and online at KVIA.com. Driving in El Paso in downtown is about to get easier. Starting today, the Texas Department of Transportation installed an advanced wrong-way deterrent system to help stop potential wrong-way drivers. The system is at Oregon Street and Loop 375 West. The Oregon exit has been closed for years and finally reopened today. If a driver reaches a sensor indicating they are on the wrong side of the street, flashing lights and wrong-way signs will turn on. If the driver continues into traffic, an electronic message board farther east will alert westbound drivers. More than $16 million in federal funding will go towards supporting the homeless in Las Cruces. U.S. senators welcomed the funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. The funding will support New Mexico projects that provide housing assistance and supportive services to people experiencing homelessness. Senator Ben Ray Lujan said, quote, "Every family across America deserves safe, affordable housing. Thanks to the Biden/Harris administration, I am proud to see strong investments go towards efforts to support affordable housing and address homelessness across New Mexico." End quote. For more, you can go to the ABC7 app on air and online at KVIA.com. For now, have a positive, productive rest of your Monday night filled with lots of joy. I'm ABC7's Paul Sicala for 600 ESPN El Paso.
PD on the way out there, but they're not there yet. Gabriel West and Magruder. Another crash that just happened right now. Gabriel East and Vitrovino. This intersection crash. not under PD control right now, so they're on the way. Caution you that traffic's going to be bottling up their gateway east of New Camino. Where else are we tapping the brakes? Because I-10 West at Trans Mountain is closed completely, I-10 West backs up that traffic backs up all the way to Red. Your single file, stop and go at a crawl all the way from I-10 West at Red all the way through to Trans Mountain. Heavy traffic, struggling traffic, I-10 East, Spaghetti Bowl to Reynolds. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon. Leo's has a full-service bar Tuesday through Sunday, not tonight, but tomorrow. 11 to 8, famous tortilla soup, fresh, delicious, affordable. Don't forget the delicious sopapillas and gold miners from Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon. I'm Charlie with 600 ESPN.
Speaking Rock presents Shady.
May I have your attention, please?
A live tribute band to the music of Eminem. A free show on Speaking Rock's Outdoor Plaza.
I've created a monster, because nobody wants to see Marshall no more. They want Shady, I'm chocolate.
Shady, the country's premier Eminem tribute. Ages 21 and over. Saturday, March 9th at Speaking Rock. See Speaking Rock's Facebook page for more info.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
People love their Mueller metal homes.
This is what we dreamed about, and we didn't really have a plan for the interior or the finish out. We just wanted the structure up, and we're taking it from there.
Looking at the sunrise in the morning, the sunset at night, just what we love.
I use Mueller because they make a superior product.
This is our home. This is our forever home.
Enjoying every minute of it and seeing it all come together, and one of these days I'll get her done.
Find out more at MuellerInc.com. They say America doesn't make anything anymore. They say no one stands behind their products. They say nothing is built like it used to be. But they haven't met us. We are Mueller, a family business building on 90 years of doing what they never could. Mueller Metal Roofs and Buildings. Made in America. Made to last.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to hims.com/radio. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio for your free online visit. hims.com/radio.
It's Macy's one-day sale tomorrow with great deals of the day just in time for Valentine's. Like 40 to 60% off your date night outfit from INC, Karl Lagerfeld Paris, Guess, and more. And 40% off handbags to complete your look. Plus, get 25 to 40% off beauty and fragrances they'll love from Clinique, Carolina Herrera, and more. And get it faster when you pick up in-store or curbside at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Progressive asks, what do an escaped leopard...
We're live from the zoo where a leopard has escaped.
A growling stomach, an uneaten tuna sandwich, and a backdoor doggy door have in common? They can lead to an unexpected kitchen renovation.
Yeah, hi. Is this the zoo? Your leopard is in my kitchen.
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons, and you are listening to 600 ESPN El Paso.
We're back here. on Sports Talk, closing out the 4 o'clock hour. I'm Lane Frank, host of the Scored Sports Podcast. He's Kate McConnell, my co-host with UTEP Zay in the back. We're co-hosting today, guest hosting for Steve Kaplitz, Adrian Bross. Well, they're going over to Vegas for the Super Bowl. Be hosting the show there for the rest of the week. We have Lou Romano in studio. He's been on fire so far. Great arguments we've had. Great callers. Again, you can call in now on 555-6009. We're going to have baseball player, MLB player, Garrett Stubbs joining us at the 5 o'clock hour. But we have a caller right now, Jackson, on line one. Let's take that. Jackson, you're live on Sports Talk.
Hi. Thank you for the intro. Thank you so much. So my take is going to be in the NBA. And honestly, seeing how the Clippers are playing this year, you have to give them their credit that they will win the NBA championship this year.
Clippers championship?
Is that team the NBA championship? The Clippers champs.
The Clippers to win the NBA championship is not a crazy take. No. It's not a crazy take. The way James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George have meshed, that's not a crazy take.
Well, am I crazy for saying that Russell Westbrook will win the finals MVP?
Yes, you are crazy for saying Westbrook will win the finals MVP.
Yes. Jackson, as someone who has been a lifelong Clippers fan and watches a lot of Clippers basketball, whenever I'm away from that facility and I'm not playing football here at UTEP and I get a chance to watch a game, I'm watching, and as much as I love Russell Westbrook, yes, him winning the finals MVP is a hot take, but them winning the NBA championship is not. After having no chance for as long as I can remember, right, they have turned things around, they're getting a new stadium, they have a good owner, and they have a great lineup right now that's deep with a lot of talent. I don't think that's a hot take whatsoever.
Lou, let me hear your thoughts. Jackson, thank
you. I have
no
interest in the NBA, but why can't Russell Westbrook win the MVP?
What do you mean?
He's not the biggest player on this team.
Well, because he plays with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and usually the finals MVP is going to have the best stats, and Russell Westbrook has never had the best stats on that team. He's a role player that facilitates great. He contributes to a ton of wins, but he's not the marquee guy that's going to get the finals MVP.
So only the marquee guys can win the MVP of the finals.
It's the guy that's going to carry you in that game, and Russell Westbrook doesn't carry games.
Okay, He used to, absolutely.
But he's past his prime, and Kawhi Leonard is playing at his prime. Paul George is playing at his prime, and even James Harden's playing really good. Russell Westbrook is more than likely, you know, in the 95% of the time, he'll come after everybody as far as statistics go. If there's going to be a guy that carries a game and has a 35, 40-point game or do something that's going to win an NBA final or MVP for an NBA finals, it's going to be, you know, probably Paul George or Kawhi Leonard.
So he averages 10 and 10 and hits the game winner in game 7 at the buzzer. He's not getting the MVP?
Probably not. Because guess what? Kawhi Leonard probably had 30 that game with 14 rebounds and, you know, 10 assists himself. So, I mean, you know.
I believe you. I just don't watch the NBA.
So I know you don't watch the NBA. Let's talk some baseball because that's your specialty. We got 5 minutes left. Let's talk some baseball. Let me talk about this right here. Oakland Athletics get their new stadium approved. They're leaving. What does that show you leaving Oakland to go to Las Vegas?
I think it's a shame that the A's are leaving Oakland. I don't know why. Like I said before, somebody didn't step in and say, what kind of outfit are you running here when you're winning 30 games a year? Somebody needed to go over and explain to the A's, here's how this needs to get done.
Well, they had a great team, and they blew it up.
Yeah, they blew it up. How come?
Because they didn't have money to pay the guys.
Okay, baseball doesn't have a salary cap.
No.
So at what point do you go to that owner and say, you can't own this team anymore? But baseball, first of all, needs to have a basement. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Oakland. If you don't spend $90 million minimum on your payroll, you can't play in this league.
Kansas City.
I can't afford a home in Beverly Hills. Okay, they're not going to let me buy one.
Okay,
it's the same thing.
Can't afford an MLB team. They're going to let you buy one.
Right. So if you can afford a team, you can afford to pay your players. So if you're not going to pay anybody and not keep your team together, you can't play here. Kick them out. They're meaningless anyway.
You said Kansas City. They paid Bobby Witt 11 years, $288 million today. But that's only one guy. They're not going to be able to get anybody to surround Bobby Witt for the rest of his career.
But that's my point. And baseball doesn't even have a cap.
No, and they need to because Steve Cohen can do anything. I mean, I think all of the other owners combined still don't own that to Steve Cohen.
Right. And that got him nowhere. But my point is you need to tell these baseball teams this is the X amount of dollars you got to pay. And that can change every year. You got to have X amount of dollars to play in this league. If you can't maintain a team here and at least give the appearance that you're being competitive, you're out. Go play AAA.
Well, the Orioles, a low-market team that had great success last year, billing through the draft, everything they had. They made the playoffs. number one seed, but they can't spend on free agents. They get bought. I think it was on Thursday, Friday. They trade for Corbin Burns, Cy Young winner in 2021. What does that show you? Because it's a little bit crazy.
Okay, first of all, the Corbin Burns deal has been happening since Christmas. So that was before Angelo sold the team.
True.
For number one.
But it got
number
closed.
Number two, you're right. How long was Baltimore going to be bad? They've had the number one pick for 10 straight years. How much longer were they going to keep being bad?
It's a traditional way to build, but it's also not a traditional way to build because you're bad so many years.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So at some point, if baseball would say, you got to spend $90 million or you can't have a team, it's that simple. Take your stuff and get out of here. We'll use the park for something else. The rule changes. They keep calling them changes. They're not changes. They never changed. The speed up the game thing, it's been that way in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s until Mike Hargrove became the human rain delay with his 25-minute at-bats. Now the fact that they're speeding up the game, it didn't change. It used to be that way. As a kid, I could watch a baseball game in 90 minutes.
Because it would just be natural.
Now we got a pitcher coming in the third. We got a pitcher coming in the fifth. He's got to get warm up. We got a pitcher coming in the seventh. And we're paying somebody $30 million to throw to get three outs in the eighth.
Lou, there's validity to what you're saying. But, like, you know, you were talking about a second ago, like having, you know, okay, Orioles, you haven't spent enough money. You're not up to the caliber of what an owner should be or paying players and getting the right guys in there.
Right.
But then, I mean, the idea of relegation is a very slippery slope too, because just because you've been bad for however long, you're like, we'll use your park for something else. Well, now that whole city doesn't get an MLB team, regardless of what they're upset or not or losing, but now they don't have an MLB team.
I can't help you. It's life. It's
well,
tough.
No, you can't help it because if there's no relegation or anything like that, now
Cade,
now
you are way too, it's never anybody's fault.
That's not what I said.
That's exactly what you're saying. It's
you
never anybody's fault.
But you just
your
said
owner
you would
won't
the
pay
city.
Your players.
But you just said
let's
you
use
punish
the Angels.
The city.
Let's use the Angels.
Sure.
Okay, you had Mike Trout, Otani, and Pujols on the same team.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, what do they have to show for it?
Nothing.
Nothing. But you're going to take away my MLB team in my city?
Yeah, get out of here because you don't know how to deal with players. Take a hike. Get out of here.
As mad as I've been at the Angels for as long as I have.
That ruins the mindset of any sports fan.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, my. Absolutely. If you told me that my MLB team was disappearing off the face of the planet or getting relegated down to a lower division just because they were bad.
No, that is being extreme. What I'm saying is this is the dollar amount, and here's how you do it.
Right,
so
but,
do it.
Right, but I'm saying that now you're that goes back to what we were talking about off air. Right now you're having the league commissioner say you have to do X, Y, and Z in order to stay in the league.
That's right.
So that's it's a threat. It's a threat.
Yeah,
to
it's a threat.
But then if they don't if they don't comply with the threat or they don't get it right, now I don't have an MLB team in my city anymore.
Sorry, you don't. We got to go to break.
Yeah, we got to go to break. Close out the 4 o'clock hour. This is a great
Las
hour.
Vegas was fine without professional sports. They didn't complain. Go to break.
That's true. This is a great hour. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Cade. Coming back next with MLB player Garrett Stubbs.
I'm Zay Galindo bringing you this 600 ESPN El Paso Sports Center update. Lane Frank and Cade McConnell co-hosting today for Adrian Broaddus and Steve Kaplowitz, who are at Super Bowl Radio Row. You heard that right, Radio Row. So you'll have Lane Frank and Cade McConnell taking you out through this show. Let's get you to some headlines from around sports. Starting off in the NBA, as the Los Angeles Lakers forward Jared Vanderbilt will be out for at least 3 to 4 weeks with a foot injury. The Lakers get a huge, huge knock as he suffered a right midfoot sprain and will be reevaluated by team doctors in about 3 to 4 weeks. Back to the NFL, as the 49ers are displeased with their Super Bowl practice field, sources say. Field conditions for the San Francisco 49ers practice facility at UNLV have been met with widespread disapproval from various members of their organization. The NFL put sod field on top of the field turf and started laying it just last week when the NFL ordinarily requires Super Bowl practice fields to meet certain standards in December, sources told the ESPN's Adam Schefter. Now to some baseball news, as Bobby Witt Jr. agreed to an 11-year, $288.8 million deal to re-sign with the Kansas City Royals. a staggering guarantee that will keep the young star in Kansas City as the Royals attempt to build a team and a new stadium with him under center. That's all I have for you back in the 600 ESPN El Paso studios. We're going to get right back to Cade and Lane right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
On Sports Talk, I'm Lane Frank, guest hosting with Kate McConnell. We just wrapped up Lou Romano. That was a great segment right there. Guest hosting for Steve Kaplitz and Adrian Broaddus. And we got Garrett Stubbs, MLB player, coming up next to talk with us. Garrett's been on this show before. He's been on my show. Great catcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. And Zay, do we have him tapped in? We do. Garrett, you're live.
Lane.
What's up? Thank you so much for doing this, Garrett.
Of course. Doing anything for you guys.
Of course. So my co-host today is college football quarterback Kate McConnell. We got a lot of stuff to go over with you. Thank you for taking this time with us.
You got it, buddy.
Of course. First thing I want to ask you right here. So Mookie Betts, someone that I guess you guys probably don't like because he's on the Dodgers, said this week that whenever a team plays us, it's their World Series. When you guys, the Phillies, hear that, what do you think?
Well, first off, you know, I have no hard feelings over Mookie Betts at all. I watch other guys play against us all year long, and when you're as talented as Mookie Betts is, it's fun to get to play against those kind of guys and see what they can do out on the field. And aside from that, you know, I've heard from guys who have gotten to play with him. He's a phenomenal person on and off the field. So, one, coming from a guy like that, anything, a guy, person like that with the resume he has, you know, you sit down and listen hear what kind of things that those guys have to say. But also hearing from him the World Series aspect of how they're going to go about things, I think every team goes about it that way. I think when you win a lot, people take those kinds of games very seriously. And I think that that's the message that he's sending. It's just that, you know, with the amount of success that they've had in the past and the additions that they've made this offseason, I mean, how do you not go into a game against a team like that? And, you know, I don't know about taking it as far as being a World Series game, but taking it to the point of, you know, this is a team that everyone wants to beat. And the Phillies in 2022 went into the season not being the team to beat, and then going into 2023, after going to the World Series, you know, you start to become a team to beat and have a target on your back. So I totally understand what he's saying. I respect it, and I think that they've earned the right to be able to go into games and know that teams are going in there with everything they have to beat them.
Yeah, so that doesn't rub you the wrong way right there, because I don't know if it should, but I'm saying that you guys have dominated the playoffs, at least in the National League the last 2 years, making it to the World Series in 22 and being one game away from the World Series again last year when the Dodgers have been knocked out of the playoffs first round last year. I'm just thinking of that right there. But when you think about it, you guys eliminated the Atlanta Braves the past 2 years in that division, but they won the division the past 2 years. Is it a different mindset now to where, okay, it's time we actually beat that, we get that division now, and we don't have to do that thing right there with them in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, you go into every single season wanting to win the division, right? And the Braves are an incredible team. You know, I would say that the NL East is the best division, one of the best divisions in the entire league. I think that people across the board would put the NL East up there as one of the best divisions in the league. So to be able to win that division, very difficult. We have the team to do it. The Braves have definitely run away with the division the last 2 years. And then we've kind of, you know, gotten to take atop the Braves in the playoffs the last 2 years. So, you know, the playoffs is where you really make your statement, and we've been able to do that the last couple of years. But, you know, we'd love to go into this year and win a division just like we've had that mentality the last few years. But the ultimate goal, aside from winning a division, is winning a World Series. So we've come really close in 22, got to the NLCS this last year in 23, and we hope to be the last team standing here in 2024.
Yeah, never bad to get an extra locker room post-game celebration. I know you love those.
No doubt.
Garrett, Cade McConnell here, quarterback at UTEP. First of all, thanks for coming on. It's really cool to have you on here, helping me and Lane hold down the fort for Steve and Adrian, which is pretty cool. But I got a question for you about the World Baseball Classic. Obviously, you went, you played for Israel, had some success, and hit that ground rule double that ended up being the game winner and then qualified you guys for the next year. Can you just talk a little bit about, you know, what that meant to you and to play in a World Baseball Classic and kind of that moment?
Yeah, the World Baseball Classic as a whole is just an incredible tournament that they put on. I know for people from all around the world have incredible pride in their country. Unfortunately, the Olympics hasn't really been a thing for baseball. So the WBC has kind of taken over that reign for baseball. And for me to be able to play for Team Israel growing up as a Jewish kid, having a bar mitzvah, and then, you know, getting to have a pretty spectacular moment, I really got to feel what it was like to play for a country. I watched, you know, the Dominican Republic fans and the Puerto Rican fans who, you know, have a bigger standing inside the baseball world. But I think what people don't know is that the money that Team Israel raises, they built a baseball field over there in Israel to try to create some spark in kids and playing the game that we love playing over here and giving them an opportunity over there. So to be able to have that hit there and send us into the opportunity to be able to play in the following WBC and getting that auto bid. You know, the background of it is that another baseball field gets get built in that year. And then because of the money that we'll be able to make being in the WBC the following time it comes around, you know, that's another baseball field built. So it's pretty cool to be a part of that. Pretty cool to get to play on a world stage. And I'm looking forward to hopefully getting that opportunity to play again and put together an even better team for the next one and try to win two games and you know, hopefully advance.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of, you know, special moments and doing things that are really cool, I have a younger brother. His name's Bo. I believe you have a younger brother. His name's CJ. Looked like he's followed in your footsteps for a lot of the way. You know, for some of the people out there who, you know, don't know your story or maybe not your relationship with your brother, you know, what has he meant to you, you know, having a younger brother and then you, you know, leading the way for him and kind of being a role model? Can you just kind of talk about that aspect?
Yeah, you know, it is. It's been incredible being able to watch him play at a high level in high school and then go on to play at USC, which I had done as well, and then getting drafted by the Astros and playing, you know, for the same organization there for a little bit. But it's funny. At a certain point, you see your brother, you know, follow your footsteps, and then at a certain point, you know, I know he hasn't made it to the big leagues yet, but I fully expect him to do that. Whether it be this year or in the very near future, it's kind of a role reversal for me. I get to now watch him go through some of the same things that I did in pro ball. And we have conversations, and whereas the conversations when we were younger might have been a little bit more one-sided because of the experience that I had, I get to listen to him because he's now playing at a really high level of baseball, and I get to learn from him, whether it be physical things about our swings, catching, or mental things of just, you know, the daily grind of going through games, wins, losses, errors, hits, no hits. You know, it's fun getting to have that relationship with him and getting to be kind of in the same space and learn from each other.
Garrett, once again, you guys are in a stacked division. The Nationals, young team, they have some potential. Marlins made the playoffs last year. Obviously, the Braves, you guys, and then my New York Mets. Sell me right here, sell the Philadelphia Phillies to me and everybody else in El Paso. I want you guys for the best team.
Well, first of all, Lane, we're accepting new fans whenever you want to join the Philly train and
get
off the Mets.
I don't think I can ever jump from the Mets.
But, you know, I think that because of we have a lot of the same players coming back this next year. You know, signing Nola back was huge, not only because he's an incredible pitcher, but the camaraderie we have in our locker room, I think people see it across the entire league. It's a fun team to play for, and we go out there, for a lack of a better term, we go balls to the wall every single game. And I think a big reason we do that is because we enjoy playing for the guy next to us. And I think people see that. I think that there's people that want to be a part of that. At least I hope that they do. And, you know, with the same guys coming back, I really like our chances considering what we did last year. And it wouldn't surprise me if Dave Dombrowski, you know, made a splash either in his free agency or whatever. The guy is a guy who wants to win, alongside John Middleton, our owner. You know, they're two individuals that just want to win, and so they're going to do whatever it takes to do that. And I'm just happy to be a part of it. And I think that because of a lot of the same guys coming back this next year, it'll be another really fun team to watch and to watch win.
For your sake, yes, as a Mets fan, please, Phillies, do not make any more moves.
Well, hey, you know, we all know the Mets have deep pockets, so wouldn't surprise me if they go to make some moves too.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I want to touch with you right here. So I know you've always loved playing catcher. That's your main position. But do you ever see yourself maybe playing a different position, maybe in the outfield, which I know you did in college a little bit, or maybe somewhere like third base?
Yeah, I've actually gotten to play outfield a couple times in the big leagues, mostly in blowout games one way or the other. But I actually played against the Mets in 2022. I forget exactly what happened, but a situation happened where Schwarbs got pinch run for, and we didn't have anybody to go play left field. And it was we were winning, I think, 3-1 at the time, and I got to go play left field. So I've gotten to play outfield a little bit. I got to play third base in the WBC. At the end of the day, I am open to playing whatever gets me a job and in the lineup. You know, I love playing this game for so many reasons. So I'm always open to the idea of playing different positions. You know, there's a lot of really good players in this league. So, you know, haven't really found a starting role anywhere else on the field, and catching seems to be my sweet spot. But if a team ever wanted me to play a different position, you know, I believe in myself that I'm fully capable of doing that. And if the opportunity presents itself at any point, you know, would love to go do that.
Gary, I would love to know, over your entire career of playing baseball, from when you were a kid all the way up to current time right now, do you have a favorite baseball memory?
A favorite baseball memory? I've been very fortunate to collect quite a few, but I guess I really would just take the 2022 World Series run as a whole. I think that the quality of people that were in the building fighting for that World Series, I know we came up short, and it's nothing hurts more than getting all the way to the last stage, getting a chance to win the whole thing and coming up short. I've unfortunately done that a few times in my career, of getting to the World Series and not finishing the job and winning that last game. But that 2022 team, which mostly came back in 2023 and now is mostly going to come back in 2024, that 2022 run was just incredible on so many levels. The connection that we had in the locker room, the wins that we had, getting to the World Series, and the connection we had with our fan base. I think that team as a whole, even though we came up short from winning the whole thing, I think the people around Philadelphia will remember that team for a long time to come.
I thought your answer is your favorite baseball memory of the time Aaron Judge gave you a concussion.
Well, I would say that if I could remember it.
Yeah, if you ever saw Aaron, would you bring up that story to him?
I have brought it up to him. You know, Tyler Wade is one of my good friends, and he played with Judge over in New York, and they're good friends. And so I've actually gone to a couple hockey games with Judge, and we've talked about that story before.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories of you. All right, well, Garrett, thank you so much for taking the time of your day to come on Sports Talk today. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you. And next time you guys are doing this, always feel free to give me a call.
Of course. Great luck this season, Garrett. Let's go Phillies, except against the Mets.
I like it. Thanks, boys.
We appreciate it. Thank you. That was great with Garrett Stubbs. Back after break, Trey Gitman coming on next. On 600 ESPN El Paso, I'm your host today from Score Sports, Lane Frank, co-hosted with me, Kay McConnell, and we got the newest UTEP wide receiver, Trey Goodman, in studio. Zay, thank you for queuing that up right there. We got some great stuff to lead into right here. Trey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, it's cool to have you out here. It's always cool to get a player on the show. You know, we've had some other players in the past and things like that, but it's always cool to kind of get some background, kind of get to know you for some of the people that are out there. I mean, they just know newest UTEP wide receiver. They don't know a whole lot. But, you know, before we get in, I know Lane's got some cool questions for us, some, like, would you rathers for us that we'll get into, some fun stuff later. But first, just kind of, you know, tell the people and the listeners, some UTEP fans, like, a little bit more about you. Let them know, you know, who Trey Goodman is. Yeah. And what he's about.
Yeah, no doubt. So first of all, I mean, I'm just extremely grateful to be here, man. Extremely grateful for you guys and
thank you for coming
on. Just to be here in El Paso, man. It's awesome. It's a beautiful city. So a little bit about me is I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I played football for pretty much as long as I can remember, football, baseball, and basketball. I stopped playing basketball in my eighth grade year because I didn't make my team, so I gave up on it. but I played baseball as well. That was actually my first love, baseball was. So I like to tell people a lot of times I feel like I was better at baseball than I am at football, but I just didn't really enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it as much, so you know, I went where my heart was with football and played quarterback up until my junior year, halfway through my junior year of high school. Ended up switching positions real late in my junior year. Started my senior year. Was first team all conference, first team all region, second team county, and honorable mention for all state. Wasn't really getting highly recruited at a high school by college coaches just because of COVID and you know the pandemic. It was very limiting for recruitment process. So it's kind of unfortunate for me, but you know I stuck to the path and there was this one guy, this crazy little short little guy from Texas, who he was actually at Austin Peay at the time. Coach Scotty Walden, he took a chance on me. He was one of I want to say four Division I schools that gave me a scholarship offer. He actually offered me a week and a half before signing day. You know, got me on a couple of official visit Zooms at the time because you know couldn't go see anything in person, right? And he took a chance on me, and I haven't looked back since, man. So I was at Austin Peay, you know, had a great time there. Coach Walden, I was a part of his, he likes to say his foundational class. I was a part of his first recruiting class there at Austin Peay. Played a good amount my freshman year, you know, had a good time. We had a pretty solid season. Then sophomore year, we ended up being conference champs. And junior year, we went back-to-back. And so it's been a long journey, but it's been really fun, and it's been really good. So transferred here, and even going into the portal, there were a good amount of people talking to me as I entered the transfer portal, but there was really no one that really pulled the trigger like Coach Walden did. And just to see the trust that he has in me and the faith he has in me, even in, you know, my accolades that I had at Austin Peay and going into the transfer portal after 3 years of being a pretty good receiver that contributed a lot, and just for him to be one of the only coaches to actually take genuine interest in me, it just affirmed everything that I knew about him and that I felt, or how I felt about him, just because, you know, he just didn't hesitate. The moment I got in, he was like, yeah, we got a spot for you. If I know that you can compete at FBS level, if you want to be here, then I got a spot for you. And I said, Coach, I'm in. So that's why I'm here, and it's been a great 2.5-3 weeks now in El Paso, and I'm loving it, and I'm excited for what's next, man.
Absolutely. We're just getting going. All of us guys, you know, from UTEP here, you know, there's a little bit of that Austin Peay UTEP mesh going on with some of the guys that got brought over.
No doubt.
But it's been nothing but love and really good so far. You know, I know I've gotten to go out to eat with you guys, you know, start to do some more stuff off the field, which is pretty fun. But, you know, I was in the same position as you coming out of high school. I didn't get recruited out of high school, but then when I went to JUCO, I had really one coach that took a chance on me to come here. But you were in the same position with Coach Walden, and what has he meant to you as a coach, you know, in that time? Because, I mean, that means a lot. When you don't have a whole lot of people that have a lot of trust in you, and you have that, you know, that one guy that goes out. I mean, everyone that's, you know, I've been on the show, and we've talked about Coach Walden's energy, and we've talked about all that stuff. But, like, yeah, exactly.
You get to see the energy in person.
Right, exactly. Like, we've got to see it firsthand. But, you know, like, as far as, like, a person, as a human being, like, what has Coach Walden meant to you?
Man, the biggest word that comes to my mind when I think about Coach Walden is just that he's just a man of integrity. When he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. So this is a little bit about my story, actually, Austin Peay. So when we got there, they got there in the fall. They got there in November of 2020, and they were kind of thrown into the fire a little bit, him and his staff. So they didn't know who was going to be around, who was going to be staying. And they had announced the COVID year, so you didn't know who all – you had to kind of establish, you know, yourself in the midst of figuring out who is who and who you're going to keep on scholarship, who you're going to, you know, maybe cut or tell – you know, it depends on just a lot of things. And so there were a lot of moving pieces in the spring of 2021, which is when I graduated high school. And so – one of the things that he told me when he was recruiting me, he apologized for getting on the train so late. He was like, look, man, I'm sorry we took so long. I'm sorry that it took me forever to find you, man. But he was like, I'm taking a chance on you because I believe in you. And one thing that he really kept it real with me is that because, you know, at FCS, you can do partial scholarships.
Right.
And so initially, my freshman year, I was only on partial scholarship. And he said, but if you come here and work how I know you can work, how I see it on your film, and I know that the man you are, and you develop and you continue to contribute how I know that you will, then I'll put you on full scholarship. And sure enough, I had a pretty good season. Like, I had a pretty good season in the fall. I mean, I had maybe three or four games at receiver, which, I mean, is a good amount, but nothing crazy. Yeah. Right, for a freshman. Yeah, exactly.
To get on the field as a freshman is an accomplishment in itself.
Exactly. And I was playing majority special teams and contributing the way that I could at the time. And he brought me in the spring when it came around. He said, just like I told you, man, you came in, you contributed, you worked hard, you did your job, you did what I asked you to do, man, so I'm going to put you on full scholarship. And ever since that moment, like, he's just been so near and dear to my heart. We have a really good relationship off the field. And, like, Coach Walden, the thing about him is that all he does is make you enjoy the game. Although it's hard and he expects a lot from us and he demands a lot from us, he also returns the favor on the back end. Is that he likes to say he coaches really hard, but he loves even harder, man. And I can be your witness to that. It's the truth. And he's only been there for me for things on the field, off the field. You know, there are numerous amount of things that I've talked to him about, you know, outside of football, and it's just been like a normal conversation. So he's just been someone that's always been there for me as a person, as a man, as like a father figure, you know,
right.
more than just a coach when it comes to X's and O's. So he's an awesome guy, and he's definitely a man of integrity.
For sure. We got UTEP Zay in the back. I know he wants to ask you a question really quick.
Trey, a lot of touchdowns this year, 7, to be specific with Austin Peay. One of those being a 52-yard, you know, bomb against Tennessee, yep. Packed out stadium. I mean, can you explain that moment for me, how that felt?
Yeah.
I was about to ask you that. That was a great, it seemed like a great moment.
Yeah, so that was, man, that was my, that was my first touchdown of the year.
Okay.
Second game of the season, first touchdown of the year.
That's a way to kick it off, right there.
I know, right?
Yeah, down to 10 points, yeah, fourth quarter, exactly. Neyland Stadium.
I was like, oh my gosh.
They got their playoff hopes.
Oh my gosh, man. It was amazing. And you know, we'll speak on it a little bit later, but I can't wait to get back there. But yeah. it was so loud. Like, I can't even explain or fathom actually how loud it was in there, and it only got louder anytime we made progress. So it was kind of frustrating. Like, you know, usually you think you make a good player, you do something in the crowd or be quiet.
Yeah, you got the silencer.
Exactly. Yeah. You silence the crowd, and then we just get a first down, and then it just be like, get loud, and everybody gets louder. And I'm just like, golly, man, these people won't be quiet. It was awesome, man. So I actually was running down the side. I didn't know that on the play, if you go back and look at it, I didn't know that the guy had fallen. So when I caught the ball, it was loud. So I caught the ball and I was running. I couldn't hear anything. Couldn't hear footsteps or anything. So I was running for my life. I was like,
"Oh, he was on you."
I did. I thought he was right behind me. And so I got to the end zone and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" I was like, "I just scored!" Like that. This is amazing. It was. I mean, it was such a surreal moment. It was one that I'll always remember. I'll never forget, man. Especially just because like being in front of that atmosphere and being able to produce at that level, because, you know, a lot of times there's doubts like, what's the big drop off? What's the difference between FCS and FCS and Group of Five and Power Five and things like that? And just to show that, like, if you can play football, man, you can play football. It doesn't matter. So it was definitely an awesome experience and one that'll be, you know, cemented in my head forever.
No, because that's definitely a close game. You know, it's 23-6. Tennessee fans are probably already super mad that they're only, you know, they have playoff hopes. They have great hopes. Win the Orange Bowl last year. They got Joe Milton, who they think is the next superstar quarterback. Then you make that touchdown, make it 10-point, give them the fourth quarter. Everybody starts freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And we could talk about it right now. Like, how excited are you to get to go back there?
Yeah, I am.
What are the odds that you transfer to the school?
I know. That's actually crazy because we also our home opener this year is also Southern Utah, and they were in our conference at Austin Peay.
Right.
And just little connections like those is just really affirming that, like, I'm where I'm supposed to be, you know.
Right.
Just because last year, so those, if I had to pick two games last year that were most memorable for me, it would be University of Tennessee Knoxville and Southern Utah University. So we played against Southern Utah. It was our second conference game, I think. We were down 21 at halftime. Or no, we were down 14 at halftime. Then we come out of the half, they get the ball, they score. We're down 21 probably about halfway through the third quarter. Our team, we gather ourselves, we rally back, end up winning a double overtime victory in a game where I actually threw a touchdown and caught for the game-winning touchdown in double overtime. And so just, like, being in that moment is insane. And so for us to be able, like, just to play them again and us to have them in the Sun Bowl coming this fall is just super exciting. And then going to Neyland Oh my gosh, man! I know it's at the end of the year, but man, I'm really excited to go back. It's just an electrifying atmosphere and one that really can't like. It kind of can't be mocked just because, like, there are so many people there, and the way the stadium works, it's like most like, even with us, with the Sun Bowl, it's more of like a bowl.
Right.
Their stadium is just vertical, so everything feels like it's just, like, right on top of you.
Right.
And so anytime there's a lot, like, there's noise, I could be from here to 5 yards away, and I'm screaming, and all you hear is, like, it's just whispers. And so, man, I'm looking forward to going back, and you know, if it be God's blessing, then I touch the checkerboard again, baby. So
Of course. That's what we were talking about earlier in the show, is like going to Nebraska, going to Tennessee, like atmospheres like that. I mean, that's what Division I football is about.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Getting a win there?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Like, right? Like, I mean, I said, when you go into those games, like, you know the type of squad you have. And you know that, and I said this at the beginning of the show, and you just said it too. When you go out there and you know the kind of squad you have, anybody can win on any given day. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth. That's not me talking as the UTEP quarterback that's like, oh, I think we can win against anybody. No, that's me, like, genuinely saying, if you go out there and you play a good performance, like, you never know what can go happen. And going down to those places that this year, it's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
for sure. I know both you guys really good in high school football, but you probably play against even great competition. Who's the best player you guys played against high school football? I'll go with you, Trey. Or just any level of football, best player you've ever seen.
Best player I've played against. In high school?
High school, college, whatever it might be.
I'd probably say my junior year when we played against Alabama. They had two good corners, Terry Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah, both in the NFL now.
They were both probably the best players I played against.
It was like the week before Thanksgiving game, right?
Yeah.
I would say for me, it was probably two. One of them didn't really ever get to play a whole lot of college football. One of them, his name was DeGabriel Floyd. He ended up committing to Texas, and he was a year older than me. He was class of 2019. Mm-hmm. But he was a linebacker. But he returned kicks and punts. Like, that should tell that should tell you something. Like, he was
Jabril
a
Peppers, like, that's what Jabril
literally, he lined up in the backfield as a running back. He played linebacker full time, and then he returned kicks, and he was committed to Texas. And I mean, don't quote me on this, but I think he ended up not, like, being able to stay at Texas because of a heart condition. And I think, like, after years and years, he actually came by my JUCO, like, tried to play there a little bit too or something like that.
Really?
It was wild. But then I think he ended up somewhere like a smaller school, maybe an HBCU, I don't know.
Okay.
But he was unbelievable, and if he would have probably just stayed healthy, who knows what could have happened with him in Texas. And then the other one was Travis Dye.
Running back.
He played at Oregon, and then a little bit at USC. But he was a senior when I was a sophomore, and he played at Norco High School. I just remember him being out there. He had no socks on, no sleeves, no gloves, exactly how he would do it in everything. Just zero drip whatsoever and just burn the field. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, those two players are probably the best I've played against. And then, Lane, for players that I've played with, though, I will say, and you've probably seen
him. You told me some of them.
But players that I've played with, Tyrese Knight. Tyrese Knight is probably the best football player I've ever played with, and I hope he gets to go high in the draft this year because he's an amazing football player.
The linebacker?
From last year, yeah.
I thought you were going to go with one of the quarterbacks like Fifita or somebody.
I actually never was on the same team as him. I've just grew up with him. Yeah, been on the same team as a lot of good quarterbacks, like, you know, Aiden Childs, who's about to be the starter at Michigan State, been on his team. He grew into an amazing quarterback.
Definitely.
Malachi Nelson was on my team too. Like, he was a freshman when I was a senior.
So you think he can tear it up at Boise?
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a little bit surprised me right there with Malachi Nelson, because he was the number one guy over Arch, over Dante Moore, over Nico Amaleva, and then doesn't really play at USC. And I just head to Boise State. That's a little bit surprising to me.
Yeah, no, hopefully he finds his niche there. But, yeah, I've played with a lot of good people and against a lot of good people, and we're going to play against a lot of good players this year, which is pretty cool.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little more high school football. Which state has the best high school football? You could say California. You could say Georgia. We're in Texas. You don't want to piss off people here.
Yeah. I selfishly, I'm actually going to say Florida.
Okay.
I think Florida has the best. Well, I'll say Florida has the best athletes. I feel like Florida has the best athletes nationwide. But high school football wise, I'd probably say Texas, just because I think talent wise, it's pretty consistent as far as we talk like California, Georgia, Florida, you know, Texas. When those states come into conversation, the only thing is like it's just a much bigger state. So if it's nearly as consistent as it is, you know, in the Southeast or in California, then obviously there's going to be more production just because it's a much larger state. Now, I'm going to give respect where respect is due now. I don't want to make anybody mad, but.
Man, I'll make everybody in Texas mad for sure. Here's what I'll say. I'll be honest. As far as the big guys go, probably to Texas or Florida. Yeah. But I think skill positions, I love skill positions out of California, especially quarterbacks. I think California has the best quarterbacks. Wait, hold on. Listen, I'm going to let's throw a little controversy out here. Modern Day and Bosco, time and time again, two best high schools in the entire nation. That's got to stand for something.
For sure.
I mean, that's got to give California at least a little bit.
Modern Day is a little bit of a quarterback factory. Bryce Young, yeah.
For sure.
Call them out right there.
For sure. And we scrimmaged. That was our scrimmage before, like, week one, my junior year or senior year. We played against Modern Day when Bryce Young was there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty cool, too. Yeah.
Now, we'll say this right here. For those states, you know, not as big as Texas, maybe competition from one city to another isn't that big. But when you go from maybe El Paso, a team from El Paso, to a team from Austin, it's going to be a big gap, I'd say, right there.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
You put Duncanville against maybe my high school, which I think we're great for El Paso. Duncanville's going to win that.
Yeah, and California is the same too. Like, we have, so it works different in California. It doesn't go like 6A, 5A, all that type of thing. Like, Division 1 is like the best in California, and then it goes Division 2, 3, 4, like all the way down to, I think, like 11. There's a ton. I mean, California's
huge. In Georgia, they have 6A, 5A, 4A?
Yeah, 7A. It goes all the way up to 7A, 1 through 7.
We got a 6A.
Right, so it's kind of different. And then California, you get seeded now after the season. So based on how you play in the season, you get put in a division. So like, you could be a really small school. Okay. But if you're, you know, like Bosco is technically small. Like, they're a small private school, and they, like, if they're always going to be, you know, in the top division kind of thing because they're good. That's kind of how it works in California.
So for how did they do it here? Because I guess not really the private school powerhouses as it is, like, maybe IMG or maybe Mara Day.
Right.
It's a little bit different here because it's 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A. So for, like, my tennis team here, it's 6A. We're playing against South Lake Carroll or, like, Quinn Ewers went to call high school, stuff like that.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it breeds a lot of good competition just because you get put in those different types of divisions.
Yeah.
But, like, we have teams in California, you know, that are probably, like, El Paso could probably beat up on some lower division teams in California. We just have a lot of, you know, discrepancy.
Yeah, I get you right there. Let's go to a break really quick, come back with more in the 5 o'clock hour. We're back here on Sports Talk to close out the show here, everybody. Great stuff so far. Trey Goodman, Kay McConnell, great stuff so far. Kay, loving the show.
Yeah,
so.
Listen, every time we get on here, Lane, like, it's kind of like, okay, like, we're going to do it. Yeah, we have our game plan. We know what's going on, but we're also just hanging out, talking about sports. And, like, that's the most fun part of it.
Yeah.
So as much as I, you know, don't want to kick Steve and Adrian out, like, when they are gone, it's like, oh, me and Lane get to have a day where we get to come and have some fun. So
they kind of like it, too. Cool. Like, we get a day off.
Exactly. And we're having a good time with Trey over here. So I think Trey needs to be back on again at some point.
I'd love to.
For sure. We've had a great show, Lou Romano. I know that was an interesting first impression for you.
Yeah. Well, geez. He's got hot takes, to the least. Trey, we had Lou Romano and earlier here, a sports talk guy that came in, and he let's just say he was very opinionated.
We got a lot of callers.
We had three back-to-back callers, and there was probably more yelling and screaming than there was, like, actual logic.
And we had Garrett Stubbs, MLB player, on for a little bit. That was fun.
Yeah,
great time. So I want to end this stuff with you guys right here, because you're both, you know, football players. I want to give you a little would you rather game right here. So let's start with it. Would you rather play with a pebble in your cleat for every game, or have to have offensive lineman drip for every game?
Ooh.
The knee pads, everything.
Braces and all?
Knee braces, everything.
No. I'm going to take the pebble. I can't do it.
Yeah. Well, even if there was no knee. First of all, I play with a knee brace on because I've hurt my knee before. Okay. And I'm a quarterback. I don't even really have
no
to
move. No sleeves, can't have anything.
Yeah. I've played with a knee brace on. But even if I didn't have to play with knee braces on, I don't think I could do it. Yeah. I really don't.
I know I couldn't do it. I am a big advocate for look good, feel good, play good.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get along.
Too.
Yeah,
we
get along.
I love looking good and feeling good, man. So I would just be like, there's a rock in my shoe. I'll be all
right. Yeah, right. You know, just the blister will have to happen later.
Yeah, you forget about it.
I'm going to have to tough it out for the game because I'm a big believer in that, too. Like, I gotta look good so that I feel good, and then the rest will take care of itself. Yeah.
And I don't play football. I play tennis, but I kind of think the same. Maybe give me that arm sleeve. Maybe give me a little backwards hat.
Yeah.
Look good, feel good, play good.
Does Lane have some tennis drip?
That's
a little
drip.
Bit.
That is drip.
I play with the backwards hat every game.
Okay.
Match.
There
you go. Let me next one for you guys right here. Would you rather hurdle over a guy for a touchdown or break someone's ankles for a touchdown?
Mm.
That's a good one.
I'll go first on this one. I'm going hurdle all the way. Like, I feel like you see it a whole lot less, but, like, we had this one player in high school. His name was DeMario King. I know he's not listening, but shout out DeMario because he was one of the best high school players I played with. And there was this picture of him hurdling a guy, which you can't – I don't know about in Georgia, but, like, you're not allowed to hurdle in high school.
Yeah,
right?
You can't.
So,
really?
Like, yes.
Yeah,
no,
they throw
it's a flag.
Flag.
I did not know that.
But there was a picture. We were playing – I think it was Huntington Beach High School. And there was a picture that he got where he hurdled a guy and then had, like, his head, like, kind of stiff-arming him down in between.
That's tough.
Like how
and
he had there's the a picture up. Of Saquon doing that.
That's oh, my God. Yes, kind of like that. Yes, I know the one you're talking about. And I thought it was like the coolest sports football photo that's ever been taken.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have the capability to hurt. Well, maybe I do. Very lucky day. He's gotta be going.
Diving, you know?
Yeah, he can't even be going for my ankles. That guy's gotta be going for my toes if I want to hurdle him. But I would take the hurdle.
Yeah. What so for you? Me, I'd probably stay hurdle too. I actually was talking to JJ, Javon Jackson, our running back that also transferred from Austin Peay. Shout out JJ. He had a play last year, man. I can't remember who we were playing. I think it was versus North Alabama. So he caught a check down, a swing pass out of the backfield, and he broke a tackle, got up the sideline, and he levitated. I saw it firsthand because I was running my route, and I was in the same area as him, and I was going to block for him, and he literally levitated over this guy. I was so mesmerized. I was like so impressed. I was like, I've got to do that. I have to do that. There's no way. Like, that was so cool. And the picture of him doing it, like you said, it was so cool. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to. So I'd probably say hurdle.
Yeah, breaking some ankles is probably great, but hurdling, that's different. That's what's going to get you in overtime. That's what's going to get you on Bleacher Report.
Yeah, exactly. It's more rare. They're rare.
Exactly. Right.
Goody, now that you know that you said that, like, you have to attempt it this year at some point.
Yeah, I have to. It's my last year, man. I got to.
Get some speed and space.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Is Coach Walling going to be mad if you do it and it don't work?
No, not and it doesn't work?
Yeah.
Maybe.
hey, it's last year, though, right?
Yeah.
He's got to understand.
He might show a little empathy. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
I was going with another one right here. Would you rather play for Bill Belichick or play for Deion Sanders? Completely different coaching styles. One really hard-nosed football guy, and then one kind of the new style of coaching, Deion Sanders.
I'm going to say Bill Belichick.
You can say neither.
I'm going to say Bill Belichick just because – you know, I play for Coach Walden, and I honestly, I'm kind of spoiled. I've been with him for 4 years, and he's a great coach, and I was really spoiled to get him for all of my college career, so I couldn't see myself playing for anybody else, honestly. So I'd probably still be Belichick. Also because, like, just one of the greats, man, and he just has so much knowledge. The amount that he could pour into you, man, it's just immeasurable. So I'd probably say Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I think I'm going to slightly lean Bill Belichick just for the sense of, like, number one, you know, probably one of the greatest coaches ever.
Yeah.
Two, you know, like, I don't know if you guys have gotten to see it, but, like, there's, like, a Football Life, like, documentaries and stuff like that where they kind of show the behind the scenes with him. He's not, like, how he appears to the media.
No.
He's, like, looks very, like, closed off, like, you know, doesn't want to, like, not, like, a very social person. That is not at all how it is. Like, like Brady and Edelman and all those guys, like, talk about him and they think he's, like, the funniest guy ever and stuff. So, like, once you see that side and stuff like that, I think 100% Belichick, because I mean, the jury's still out on Deion for me.
You know, people like to say, you know, Deion cares for his players so much, and, you know, that's great, but it's not saying that no other coach in the country does that. Maybe they just don't show on social media as much.
Yeah.
I mean, who's saying Bill Belichick doesn't go over, talk to a player once a game, does all his stuff with them?
Right. I mean, for shallow reasons and maybe superficial reasons, like, it would be fun to play for Colorado. I mean,
we just had
Justin Mayers go over there and stuff, and, like, I've been seeing his stories or whatever.
Yeah.
It seems fun,
exactly. It seems fun, but, I mean, maybe right now, like, that's all it seems like. You know, it's off-season, too.
Win the off-season. What do you do in the season?
Yeah, I'm looking over, and Justin Mayers, who was, like, you know, just right next to me in my locker, you know, a couple months ago, he's, like, riding, like, snowmobiles with Shadur, and they're, like, eating, like, five-star dinners and
that
stuff. And
great.
I'm like, okay, that looks fun. And all, but despite that, I'm still going Bill.
That's a good one right there. This one right here, more enjoyable to watch, college sports or pro sports? I'll say college sports. What do you guys say?
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with college sports. I like watching college football way more than I like watching NFL football.
I think NFL's great, but I think college football's the best.
Right. I will say that that's a little bit hypocritical of me because I love fantasy football. So, you know, we have our family leagues and stuff like that. You know, I'm all about the bragging rights.
Yeah.
So, like, I do get into watching some pro football. Do you play fantasy football, too?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, we got to get a little, like, little family friend.
Yeah, we'll,
like,
get one going.
Yeah, yeah,
we'll
this year. Going. But, like, that, like, I get really, really into it as
me
far
too.
As that goes for some fantasy. But, like, as far as atmosphere goes and stuff like that, like we were talking about Nebraska and Tennessee, like those types of atmospheres, I don't think
you don't get that in the NFL.
No,
same with the stadiums, you don't get those traditional massive stadiums. It's, you know, it's more corporate in the NFL.
Right.
Exactly.
What about you, Goody?
I'm gonna say the same. I'm gonna go with college just because I feel like that's the last, like, really good balance of competition and I'd say, like, genuine love for the game.
Right.
Because a lot of times in the NFL, you know, it's about it being a business, or this person's not playing because of this reason that has to do with money, or this and that, this and that. And it has changed a little bit with NIL, but I think this is just the last, like, time where it's the genuine love for the game. Like, I'm going out there and I'm playing with my boys because I get to play with my boys, not because I'm making money while doing it. I'm doing it because I want to do it, you know?
Right.
And it's actually the love for the game and the enjoyment of being able to go out there and strap up those cleats with your brother. So I'd probably say college football for atmospheres too, man. It's just something that can't be matched, man. It's just awesome. So.
Yeah, the culture behind that, too. Like, the culture with, like, students coming out to the games and, like, having it be a game day. You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's still that vibe of, like, the area. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you could be a fan of, your sports team for your area and things like that. But, like, there's a little bit deeper of a culture when it runs, like, through a school or you're an alumni or something like that. So I think it's a little different.
What do you think Lou Romano would say? He'd definitely go college.
Oh, my God.
He'd probably say, oh, yeah, I hate both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's how Lou is. It's great.
Right, right. Lou had a lot of opinions and said that he didn't watch any sports. He's like, I'm done watching the NFL. I'm done watching the NBA. But he sure had a lot of opinions about him.
Exactly.
So he's got to be watching somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah, that was funny right there. One last one right here. And I asked you this one earlier, Cade. Make the game-winning play at home or make the game-winning play on the road? So maybe be sick to make a game-winning play, game-winning touchdown, the Sun Bowl in front of the packed out crowd, or to maybe do it in Neyland Stadium.
Ooh. That is Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good question. I'm going to pass it over to Kate. I'm going to ponder on it a little bit.
All right. Well, I'll answer, but then I'm going to give you a little more specified of a question. So you could think about it, but I'm going to throw you a curveball after that, okay?
Okay.
So let's go. I'm going to say at home, and here's why. Like I told you a little bit off air. Were we on air when we talked about it?
I think we were on air.
We were on air. I'll say it again. That's okay. But I remember in high school, I threw a pass. It was in a playoff game. It was a slant. I didn't know if it was going to be jumped or not. I thought it might have been a pick six.
Yeah.
But I got hit, and I couldn't see anything of what happened in the play, and all I heard was the crowd yell, and then it went louder again like 3 seconds later, so I knew that was a yak touchdown.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah, and I was like, I that sound and like just hearing that, it you'll never beat it. You'll never beat it.
That's great.
But here's my question to you. Ready?
Okay. Talk to me.
You go and you score the game-winning touchdown against Tennessee as like the silencer, right, to beat Tennessee, which would be huge.
Beat their playoff hopes, whatever it might be.
Right. Or you score the game-winning touchdown, and let's say we're away this year at New Mexico State, but let's say we're home, right, and we're playing New Mexico State last game of the year, and you catch the game-winning touchdown to send us to the conference championship.
Oh, that's tough. That's really tough. I'm going to say home crowd just because, I mean, I've only been here for 2.5 weeks, so I haven't gotten the full experience yet, but just from the little taste that I have about, you know, the city and how much they love this university and how much they're willing to pour in, I mean, I wouldn't want nothing more than to be out there in the Sun Bowl, score a game-winning touchdown, and look at the crowd in here. Just see them going crazy, man. Yeah. I mean, that'd just be, you know, that's just electrifying, just something that you just can't, like, you can't mimic stuff like that. And those are moments that you remember forever. So I feel like I'd probably say home crowd just because, you know, I like to I'm more about, like, my team. You know, I like to, even when I score and those sort of things, like, I'll do my little celebration, but I go celebrate with my guys. I don't worry about talking trash or those sort of things. So I would love to see, like, our crowd packing out the Sun Bowl, making that thing shake and echo all over the place from mountain to mountain to mountain and just, you know, letting people know that, you know, the Miners are here. So
absolutely.
Well, my answer was neutral site because you get the best of both worlds. You get the great victory, great sense from your crowd, and then you also get to see so many sad faces of the other team.
That's a good point.
You know, being here, UTEP, you know, you've been here, what, around a month now, close, a little-ish?
A little less than a month, yeah.
A little less than a month, right? Like, what have you seen about UTEP that maybe you like, don't like, was different, you know? Not just necessarily about the school, but the city, too, you know?
Yeah, so I touched on it a little bit, but I would say just the people, man. They're so genuine. They're so supportive, like blindly supportive, because I was on my official visit. I actually hadn't even committed yet. And we were at Dave and Buster's, and we came out, and there was someone that had on like a whole UTEP jumpsuit, the 915 with the pickaxe and everything, hat and everything. And I was like, man, they're decked out. Mm-hmm. And they saw us with the coaches, and they was like, oh, you guys Miners? I said, no, we're on our official visit. We're not yet. And he was like, man, we'd love to have you here. Like, we're so excited to get you here. Just talking as he, like, you know, as if I had already signed. And I was just like, man, like, why wouldn't I want to play for someone that supports me and doesn't even know me from a can of paint? So I would probably say just the people and the genuine, like, love for the city and love for the university and how much they pour into it and they're investing to it. So
100%.
All right, well, guys, this has been such a great show. Zay, thank you so much for everything doing back there and up here. Cade, this is a great show doing again with you. And then Trey, thank you so much for hopping on.
No doubt.
About it for Sports Talk. today. Steven Adrian will be back next the rest of this week in Las Vegas. I'm Lane Frank. He's Kay McConnell. UTEP Zay in the back. We were your guest hosts for today.